All right, 8 o'clock hour. Nicolas Maduro and his wife are in court for their arraignment. Transported by helicopter, then by armored vehicle. Facing a number of different charges, drug charges, weapons charges. And the United States went and plucked him right out of Venezuela, right out of his home over the weekend. In what was interesting when they were describing the conditions that they needed to carry out this operation. Obviously, there were strikes that were taken.
Right.
But then, you know, there was the weather conditions that they had planned this around Christmas. And the weather patterns weren't right. They weren't good enough for them. And then they used, like, Delta Force, for example, which is the most elite fighting force that we have in the United States military. So you're talking about just to the T, everything needed to be done and the conditions needed to be right. And then they finally went and got Nicolas Maduro.
Nearly 150 U.S. military aircraft were used in this operation to capture Venezuela's Maduro. And Rubio, Marco Rubio, was asked on the Sunday shows, this particular Meet the Press, on if Congress should have been notified.
This was not an action that required congressional approval. In fact, it couldn't require congressional approval because this was not an invasion. This is not an extended military operation. This is a very precise operation that involved a couple of hours of action. It was a very delicate operation, too. It was one that required all these conditions to be in place at the right time in the right place. You couldn't afford leaks. We couldn't afford anything out there that would have endangered the mission and gotten people killed or killed off the mission and the optionality. We didn't even know if the mission was going to happen. How can you notify something you're not even sure if it can happen?
General Kane of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that the U.S. forces have rehearsed this maneuver for months, learning everything about Maduro, where he was, what he ate, the details of his pets, the clothes he wore. I mean, it sure seems like Congress should have known something. That's my opinion.
Well, you're talking about when did they start the boat strikes, right? Early September?
That's right.
So, I mean...
You recall they called in Secretary Hegseth to talk about these boat strikes. What is the plan? What's the ultimate plan?
Right.
And none of this was mentioned.
No. And again, if this is a military operation, they're not going to mention it. It's not something that they would mention. I get the feeling that this is done. This is done.
Yeah.
Because what they have essentially done is shown Venezuela, because you're talking about not only the military action that was taken, but you're talking about the counterintelligence, the intelligence that was gathered, the CIA, all of their operatives that are embedded in these areas. I mean, they are highly equipped. They are in the know. They had extensive tracking. It's almost like, you know, you show them what you got, but you don't really show them what you got.
Yeah, the buildup was happening over there, and we all kind of knew something was going to happen with all that buildup over there, and us not letting the tankers go through and all of that something. And he had talked to Maduro, and you know they had spoken, and he basically told him to stand down, to step down. He wouldn't do it, but then they showed a video of Maduro in a car. It seemed like he was on a road or something with some people in a car.
It was like James Corden at carpool karaoke.
Exactly. It's like you were basically saying, like, you know, we can work something out. Let's work out this deal.
But then you have Marco Rubio going, well, we had talked, and he had said things that he was going to do, and then never did it. Like he just said things and then never followed through.
In terms of Maduro?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Marco Rubio saying that this is not about the oil specifically, although people can argue if it is or isn't. He said this is about influence in the Western Hemisphere.
We don't need Venezuela's oil. We have plenty of oil in the United States. What we're not going to allow is for the oil industry in Venezuela to be controlled by adversaries of the United States. You have to understand, why does China need their oil? Why does Russia need their oil? Why does Iran need their oil? They're not even in this continent. This is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be a base of operation for adversaries, competitors, and rivals of the United States.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because the other part here that you have to factor in is you don't want that power void to be filled by China or Russia or Iran. And Iran's got their own set of issues going on
right now.
But you don't want those adversaries to have the influence in Venezuela, even more than they already have, and then while the United States sits idly by. Again, unprecedented set of circumstances here. Mm-hmm. Unprecedented set of circumstances. But Nicolas Maduro had a $25 million bounty on his head.
It was up to 50.
It was up to 50.
Right.
So that just kept going up, up and up and up. And so they went and got him.
Hexef says we don't have to pay the 50 now. And the president
said.
No,
well, yeah, they went and got
and
him
the president
themselves.
Said, make sure that doesn't happen.
Who are we paying? Right. You're going to pay down the debt?
Right,
just moving
exactly.
money around. That's crazy. The Lions lost yesterday. That was unfortunate.
Oh.
Or they won yesterday. It's unfortunate. It doesn't matter.
It's still unfortunate either way you go,
playoffs.
Right? Yeah.
That's what's the unfortunate part,
exactly.
right? Like, there's no more games to
well,
be played.
Well, the unfortunate part is how did that impact their draft stock?
Well, yeah.
If we're talking draft now.
Because people kind of want it, you know. I know I'm talking to people saying, oh, I don't want them to lose so they can get a better pick. Right. I don't know, you know.
Well, Dan Campbell here on the season's over, sort of how he reacted to at least them playing for pride.
I'll say this. I believe that things happen for a reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, or what. And I just, when something like this happens, I believe it's going to be for the best. And it's up to Brad and I to make it for the best. And the guys that we know we're going to count on that are on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things need to happen here.
Some
you
hard looks in the mirror.
Both lines. You got to do a lot of things. We're going to get to the bottom of it with Lomas Brown coming up at 8:35. But who the Lions play next year is out, and the away games are the Bears, Packers, Vikings, obviously, but Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons, Buffalo Bills, Carolina Panthers, Miami Dolphins. Those are the away games. And who's coming to Ford Field? Everybody in the division and the Patriots, the Saints, the Giants, the Jets, Buccaneers, and Tennessee Titans.
All right, much easier schedule than this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Mary Sheffield officially been sworn in as Detroit's first female mayor, and she's keeping experienced leaders in key city roles to ensure continuity in public safety, finance, law, and human resources. She has announced the reappointments of Fire Commissioner Chuck Sims, Homeland Security Director Hilton Kincaid, Chief Financial Officer Tanya Stodmeyer, Corporation Counsel Conrad Mallett, and HR Director Denise Starr. She says these leaders bring deep institutional knowledge and proven results. And she says, while we also welcome new voices to keep our administration forward-looking and responsive to Detroiters, and she says the seasoned team includes Sims, who is a 37-year-old Detroit Fire Department veteran, Kincaid, a longtime law enforcement and emergency management expert, Stoudemire is instrumental in Detroit's post-bankruptcy financial recovery, Mallett is a former Supreme Court Justice, and Starr, who has modernized human resources and led successful contract negotiations with city employees. And she says, with this balance of experience and fresh ideas, Mayor Sheffield aims to steer Detroit through this pivotal moment while building on past accomplishments. So, you know, it's good to keep some continuity in the administration while bringing in new people as well, because you need to have that institutional knowledge, you know, in the administration.
Well, I think anytime you're going through a transition, a successful transition,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike Duggan's reign as mayor was incredibly successful.
He was.
So, you know, it makes sense that if there are fears of, like, you know, when you make that change, it's good to have those people in place.
Absolutely. So now it's, you know, Mayor Duggan is not Mayor Duggan anymore. He is running
for governor. Gubernatorial candidate.
Gubernatorial candidate, you know, Duggan. And so this year, you know, I'm sure we'll be.
Does he put more miles on the car now?
I'm sure he does. He has to.
I bet he's available to talk.
Oh,
a lot
I think
more.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Meanwhile, it was a tough one for the Spartans against Nebraska, but they tried to set things right. They've got a date with USC at the Breslin Center tonight. We'll talk to head coach Tom Izzo on the other side here on JR Morning.